If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Romans chapter 8 this evening. Romans chapter 8. We'll look at one verse, verse 14, and give to you what the Lord's laid upon our heart for tonight. Maybe you know this is my favorite chapter in the Bible, which contains my favorite verse, Romans 8, 28. But this is a great chapter as well. And a reoccurring theme, a reoccurring word in the Romans chapter 8 is the word Spirit. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, this was on my heart a few weeks ago, and God had other direction. And we had a tremendous altar service and a tremendous service. And we didn't share with you what just wasn't intended to be that night. But I made the statement, there are certain subjects when you preach them that carry a certain anointing and a special anointing. And I mentioned when you preach about the blood of Christ, God always puts his thumb in your back. And just a special anointing that comes with it. When you talk about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, when you talk about his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension, his return, when you talk about the Spirit of God, God does something special. And so tonight, that's what we want to preach on, and just a little bit different way tonight and a little bit different method, because there, you know, we cannot exhaust the messages about the Spirit of God, and we need more messages, I believe, on the Spirit, because if we're going to make it in this world today, we have to have the Spirit of God. We have to. It's essential. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to have the Spirit of God. And let's just get this out of the way right now. When you get saved, you get the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. You agree with that? I hope you do. I know I'm in the right ballpark tonight. We get the Holy Spirit. He comes within our heart. As Cameron already testified this morning, regardless of how young or how old you are, when you accept Christ into your heart, the Holy Spirit abides there as well. And without him, and let me just say this, my dad taught me, mom and dad taught me growing up, and I think we can say it again as well, the Holy Spirit should not be referred to as it, because it's not an it, it's a he, it's a him, because we know the Spirit has always been, from the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our own image. The word us is Elohim in the Hebrew, which means God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. God the Spirit was there at creation, and thank God he is here today. Do you feel him? I feel him. Let's get to reading, or we'll go ahead and preach without even reading the text. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we know the Spirit plays an important role in our lives. For without it, we could not live a successful Christian life. But in order to have the Spirit, number one, you have to be saved. There's no other way around it. You got to be saved, forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you try to attain the Spirit any other way, you do not have the Spirit, my friend. But Romans chapter 8 tells us, and of course I told you the reoccurring theme in Romans chapter 8 is the Spirit of God. In verses 1 and 2 it tells us that with the Spirit of God you get redemption from your sins. And aren't you thankful that, aren't you thankful what verse 1 tells us? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As long as you continue walking after the Spirit of God and not after the flesh, my friend, the Spirit is there to help us and to redeem us. Not only that, but you'll see in verse 5, the Spirit gives us revelation. Revelation. I believe the Spirit, one of the main wonderful things about the Spirit is the fact that he reveals to us when we need revealed to certain things in the Scripture and certain things in life in general. We say often that you need to read the Word of God as much as you can. And the parts you do not understand, that's why you need to pray that the Spirit of God will reveal those things to you. How many of you can agree with me that you've read the Bible so many times and you've read the same verses over and over and over, but somehow on a certain day at a certain time, the Spirit of God revealed something to you that only the Spirit of God could, and you said these words, I've never seen that before. Why? Because the Spirit revealed it to you. And then here in verse 14, it tells us our reaction to the Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The word Spirit, and this is what spurned the message. Actually, Hoy Duncan preached out the Smoky Mountain camp meeting, and he mentioned the word Spirit. And he mentioned the Greek word of the word Spirit. The Greek word of the Spirit in the New Testament is called pneuma. P-N-E-U-M-A. Of course, in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, it's ruach. But you'll find that the word pneuma appears many, many times in the New Testament. And I'm going to preach on all those occurrences tonight. No, I'm kidding. I will not do that. But as I begin to think about that word pneuma, and of course, how we get a lot of our current English terminology from that word, that's the root word of it. But my mind went to, and my mind just started thinking about that word, and as I began to search and research, I came across pneumatics engineering. And I thought, wow, now this is an interesting subject. And I know many of you probably understand that and knew a lot about it already, but I didn't know a lot about pneumatics engineering. But what I understood is we use pneumatic engineering almost every day of our lives and don't even realize we are using it. Now, I know this is elementary to some of you all, but as I began to study this engineering process and the engineering of pneumatics, my mind was blown away, and that's a pun, and you'll find out here what that means in a little bit. But my mind was blown away at all the similarities to the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit and what it does in our lives. Number one, I want you to notice this. The Spirit gives us power. Power, does it not? The Bible says, Jesus said himself in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you shall receive what? After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The word ghost, the word spirit are the same word in the Greek. He said, you'll receive power after the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Now, how many of you can agree with that tonight? When the Holy Spirit came into your life, the power of God was there to help you. And to many of you said, I don't know if I can live it. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'll last a week or a year. But thank God when the power of the Holy Spirit took over your life, you're still here today, decades later, worshiping God. How was you able to do that? Only one way, my friend. That was the power of the Spirit of God. Pneumatics engineering. There are pneumatic motors and pneumatic air compressors that are used in power situation. And what was interesting about this is pneumatic air compressors, pneumatic motors have the power stored up, but they know when to use the power when it's needed. And just like the Holy Spirit, God has the power stored up, and thank God when the Spirit comes, He will give it to us when we need it. And you'll find in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, we love to quote that verse, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, but you need to finish that verse because it tells us why we need the power. That we need the power in order to be witnesses in all the earth. And listen, if you're going to be able to witness to your family and your friends and your loved ones, sometimes we can't do it by words because our words will only fall on deaf ears. But my friend, if you live it with the power of the Holy Spirit and you live your testimony in front of them, I'm telling you, the Spirit will be able to penetrate their heart. And listen, that's the only way you can do it tonight is with the power of the Holy Ghost. Many of you have testified to me and you say, Brian, I would love to be able to witness more. I'd love to be able to testify more. I'd love to be able to share and witness to people out in the world, but I don't really know how to do it. I'll tell you how to do it. You do it under the direction and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee if you get up in the morning and you pray, Lord, send me somebody that I can share Jesus with, you'll be surprised. And when you begin to talk about Jesus, how the power will come, because the power is stored up, but just in time, hallelujah, that power is released, and God gives you the power to be able to witness and say things you never thought possible. You'll get done at testifying to somebody, you'll get done quoting scriptures to them, and you'll even amaze yourself. I didn't know I knew that. How did that happen? The power of the Spirit. The power of the Spirit. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh my, we need it if we're going to be able to witness to this God-forsaken world today. We need it to be able to witness. Not only the power of the Spirit, but notice that with the Spirit we get peace. Peace. Galatians chapter 5 verses 22 through 23 gives us the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Our pastor has preached before about the fruit of the Spirit. And you know that the different facets of the fruit of the Spirit is just one fruit. but it's just different parts of the fruit that come together. You can't have joy and not have peace. You can't have meekness and not have temperance. It's just like a banana. There's the peeling. There's the meat. You know, there's different parts of the banana. There's different parts of the apple, but it's all one fruit. Same way with the Spirit. There's different facets of the Spirit, and you got to have all. If you have the Spirit and you say you have the Spirit, you better have all the qualities of the Spirit. Somebody better help me right now. See, in pneumatics engineering, they use that type of engineering process for HVA systems to control the temperature. And if you say you have the Spirit, when it comes to pressure situations, can you say that you have the peace of God in order to control the temperature in your life? When someone cuts you off, when someone takes your parking space, when someone says something to you, do you have the ability, do you let the Spirit of God come and control your temperature? I'm hitting somebody there. Yeah. Now I know none of us are perfect. And sometimes in certain situations, we have to be honest and say our flesh has got in the way. If you don't say amen right there, I know you're lying and you need to come and pray. But I am thankful some of you can testify to me, and some of you can even remember back in your mind even right now moments in your life when if it was not for the Spirit of God, you might be in jail tonight. I'm not being joking. I'm being flat out honest. There are some of you that if it wasn't for the Spirit of God restraining you and controlling your temperature and you allowing Him to do that in your life, I'm telling you, you may be in a different spot tonight. But aren't you glad the Spirit knows? Aren't you glad the Spirit is there? Aren't you glad when we're trying to get out of the flesh, hallelujah, the Spirit comes and says, no, you better calm down. But we have to allow the Spirit to work in our lives in order to do that. See, church should be a drama-free zone. I got that term from my daughter. When she was in volleyball this year, they had a sign. I believe it was this year, it might have been in high school, but they had a sign in their locker room that says drama-free zone. Because when you get a lot of women together, I better stop right there. Sorry. Woo! Yeah. Got a place to stay, Connie and Lee. Yeah. But church should be the same way. And I found in my short time being an assistant pastor here, but being raised in a pastor's home, being raised in church things, when there are problems, when there are difficulties, it's because people were not led by the Spirit. Yeah. They let flesh get in the way and let flesh override the Spirit of God. Not saying we won't have problems. Not saying there won't be situations to deal with. But I'm telling you, if you are led by the Spirit, God will help you. And if you listen to what the man of God says and what comes from this pulpit, if you listen to the Spirit of God, if you read His Word, there are a lot of things that happen in your life you can control yourself if you're just led by the Spirit. This is good preaching. This is great preaching. The power of the Spirit, the peace of the Spirit. Not only that, but look at the protection that the Spirit gives us. The protection. Ephesians chapter 6 gives us a list of the armor of God. And it tells us, it commands us to put on the whole armor of God. Just like the fruit of the Spirit, you can't have one piece of armor on and expect to be a good Christian soldier. You've got to have the whole armor of God. And of course, one of those parts of the armor of God is the sword of the Spirit. And when we have the sword of the Spirit and the other pieces of the armor, it gives us protection. And the Spirit gives us protection. And the way it does that is to give us direction in order to know when to go, when to stop, the places we need to go, the places we need to stay away from. And the Holy Spirit directs us. Do you know pneumatics engineering? They use that type of engineering and mechanical engineering for air brakes on buses, trucks, and trains. So if it was not for that type of engineering, the trucks and the trains and the buses would not be able to stop properly. That pneumatics engineering tells that bus when to stop, when to start, when to go, which direction to go. Just like the Spirit of God. If we understand and are led by the Spirit, what does our verse say? As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And if we want to be led by the Spirit, I'm telling you, the Spirit will tell us, young people, where to go to college, where to get a job. The Spirit will tell us if you should go to that person's house or not. The Spirit of God will tell you what relationship to be in. Listen, this is good preaching right here. If you listen to the Spirit of God, it will not lead you astray. Take it from people that have not listened to the Spirit. We're trying to save you a lot of trouble. Whenever we get in the way and not allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct our lives, we are bound for destruction. And we are bound for a lifetime of guilt and shame. But if you let the Holy Spirit lead you, it'll save yourself. And not saying you won't have trouble, but I'm saying the Holy Spirit will help you to guide around those situations. I'll never forget, as long as I live, because it changed our family and my wife's family for eternity. We have one of the greatest soul winners, if not the greatest soul winner I've ever known personally, in our church. They're not with us this weekend, but Jamie Bacon asked her, of course, you know the testimonies that she has and the lives that she's been able to lead. Almost one person a day she leads to Jesus Christ. And that to me is just astounding. But if you ask her, if you get her down and talk to her, and I encourage you to do that sometime, get to know her, you'll understand why she does what she does. But she is constantly being led and tugged on by the Spirit of God. But let me show you how the Spirit of God helped her one day to change our family's life. My father-in-law was dying of cancer. He was 50 years old, actually around 48 years old at this time. And came with lung cancer. And for those of you that didn't know my father-in-law, Mike Free, there was no better man to walk the face of the earth. He would help anybody. But he was an alcoholic. And once that got in him, he was a different person. Won't go into all the details, but I'm telling you, it was, when you pray and ask God to do whatever it takes, you better be serious about that prayer, because he may just answer that. And he did. He answered that. God, I believe in his wisdom, allowed Mike to come down with cancer. And through all that, God softened his heart. He was a hard man. Anytime you try to talk to him about the Lord, he just changed the subject. Hard man. Well, Jamie got a burden for him. And we were up at Kim's house. And he was there resting in another room. And we heard a knock at the door. And it was Jamie Baconhaster. And she said, "I'm here to speak to Mike." So we let her in, and It was even a miracle that Mike even let her talk to him. But she went in there, started talking to him. It was really quiet. We were in the other room praying for him. And all of a sudden, you heard, "Woo!" You know. That was Jamie breaking through. And we go in there. Of course, we knew what had happened. We knew, and Mike's crying. And she said, "Tell him what happened." He said, "The Lord took me in. The Lord saved me." For 2 years, he lived beyond that. It was the best 2 years of our life. He is now in heaven because Jamie Baconhaster, I believe, under the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, witnessed to him. But see, that's not all the miracle. She had no idea where Mike Free lived. She lived over an hour, almost an hour away in Pike County, past Latham. And all she knew was that Mike and Kim Free lived outside of Otway, Ohio, up on a hill. Hello? Where do you go? And she said, "Lord, if this is you, if this is meant to be, you'll take me to their house." And I'm telling you, it's hard for me to even tell you how to get there from here. I'm not even joking. I can tell you, but I don't even know the road names, but I just know where to go because I've been there so often. But Jamie never been there before. Tim, you've been there. You know where it's at. But God led her directly to the front door of 551 Davis Hill Road outside of Otway, Ohio. And that was even a miracle in itself. And then Mike accepting God into, I'm telling you, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you'll see things happen you never thought possible. Hallelujah. Finally, let's notice, give me a couple more minutes. Notice the praise that comes with the Spirit. The praise that comes with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 18 through 20 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Let's read that again, just for good measure. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Somebody say amen. And here's what he said to do. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So it says, when you have the Spirit, you should be able to not only sing and worship, but to praise Him because of the Spirit of God. And listen, I praised Him without the Spirit because I believe, now you said, well, man, that's an odd statement to make. No, because see, sometimes we get the cart before the horse, and sometimes we let our temperature, sometimes we let our circumstances dictate the praise. But God says, if you praise me, I'll dictate the worship after that. Sometimes we wait to see what God's going to do and then praise Him. But I believe we need to praise Him, and you'll see what happens. But I'm telling you, there's been times when the Spirit of God comes on so strong that you begin to praise in a way you never praised before. And that's what the Spirit of God can do. Do you know this? That in pneumatics engineering, it's used to make pipe organs and player pianos. So that pneumatics engineering is used to make melodies, to make hymns, to make spiritual songs. I'm telling you what, folks, that's what we were made to do. We were made to praise Him. We were made to worship Him. And we do that with the Spirit of God. Amen. This is good preaching. Glory to God. And I'll finish with this. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, the Lord is a Spirit. And where the what? Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And when you have the Spirit, you should be able to praise knowing that you're free. Free, free indeed in Jesus Christ. And there's no greater feeling than to know when you lay your head down at night that you have total liberty in the Spirit of God. And one way we can express that liberty is by lifting our hands and saying, praise ye the Father, praise ye the Son, praise ye the Spirit for setting us free. Hallelujah. We enjoy our lives much better when we praise Him. Amen. The Smoky Mountain Camp Meeting, we had a great time. We had a great, great Smoky Mountain Camp Meeting this year. And during the day, I usually hang out on the fifth wheel in with Cal and Candy and Ron and Carol. I got to keep them all straight, I'm telling you. If it wasn't for me, who knows what Carol would do? But we were blessed to be able to go to Dollywood on Wednesday. Somebody graciously gives us some passes, and so we said, yeah, we'll take it. Went and saw some good Southern Gospel music, and then we proceeded to go find some roller coasters. Me and Ron's like, where's the newest one at? So we went and found it. The largest wooden roller coaster, the fastest wooden roller coaster in America. And we said, let's do it. The others chickened out. No, they didn't chicken. Calvary had to preach that night, and after we rode the ride, you would understand why he didn't ride it. I don't know if he would have been able to preach after we rode. So me and Ron got on it, and I'll just say this, it was quite an exhilarating experience. Number one, just getting in the coaster seat. It was very constricting, paint a picture, a molded seat. The bar that came down over your waist, you ain't moving. And it's probably a good thing you can't move. So, we're on there. Me and Ron's close enough like we're dating. I'm telling you, we couldn't move. We couldn't even breathe. I literally couldn't breathe. There was a lady behind us, sounded like she was from Brooklyn, New York. Oh, my Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, she was scared to death. That's exactly how she sounded, too. She was scared. Her daughter's like, Ma, it's okay, Ma, come on, tell her. So, you know, you can see the coaster ahead of you, right? So normally, you know, when you get in a coaster, I mean, it's up the hill, you're going slow, right? And that's what builds the suspense. Oh, not with this one. You're going 0 to 60 uphill. Bam! Top speed's almost 80 miles an hour. In a wooden roller coaster, no protection above, but I'm telling you, you are not moving, right, Ron? You are not moving. He can't hear me. Anyway, you ain't moving. You're not moving. So, I mean, we take off. We take off, and the lady behind me, you know, she's going nuts. And I'm laughing because I can't get my breath. And, of course, every verse of Scripture you think in your mind, as you're, I'm quoting things I'm not even sure about. And I look over, and Ron's just grinning ear to ear. And he's having, and I was like, you know what? I'm already on this ride. I might as well enjoy it. Got my hands up. There was a couple times I thought I was coming out. But I trusted I would be okay. But I thought, hey, I'm on the ride. I might as well enjoy the ride and get my hands up. So I did. And it was the best ride I've ever had in my life. Now, this Christian life, I'm telling you, we think we're going to just go up slow, but I'm telling you, sometimes shoot you right out of the gate. But you know what? If you're a child of God and you're already on this ride, might as well enjoy it. Might as well get your hands up and enjoy it. Amen! Might as well enjoy the ride! Amen! And guess what? We all made it safe. We all made it safe. Woman's still screaming behind me. She made it. And I'm telling you what, it's exactly right. When I got off, I wanted to ride it again. Because I understood, if you really want to enjoy something, just go ahead and let it all out. Just let it go. Liberty. I was free, free as a bird. And listen, tonight, we are free in Jesus' name. The Spirit hath made us free. So why not enjoy the ride? Listen, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't have the Spirit, you're not enjoying it. You may put on a face and you may put on a facade like you are, but down deep inside, you can't sleep at night. Down deep inside, you know something ain't right. The only way you're going to enjoy this journey, the only way you're going to enjoy life instead of endure it, is to have the Spirit of God in your heart. And the way that happens is if you ask Jesus to save you and set you free.